Take your Bibles now and go to the book of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, we'll read one verse tonight. We'll read it responsively, we'll read it together, sorry. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. We'll read the whole verse together in unison this evening. Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. Ready? Begin. Findeth his life, shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we appreciate all you've done already here today. Lord, we thank you for the great spirit, Lord, that's been present here today. Lord, thank you for your people. Thank you for their faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done for us. Lord, tonight you have a truth ready for us, and we ask that you would allow our hearts to be tender to it. Lord, allow us our ears to be open. Lord, tonight would you protect us. Lord, would you keep us focused on the truth? Would you keep the distractions to a minimum? Or would you just put your hand of protection around this place? Would you give our pastor focus for this truth that he's got for us tonight? We ask that you do this for us, and we'll give you the glory for everything that takes place tonight. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask you to give me your attention tonight in a special way. What I'm going to preach for the next 35, 40 minutes will change your life, but I'm going to need you to follow me clearly. The truth is not complicated, but it's very deep, okay? This is one of those truths that may be one of the most deep truths you could ever get a hold of, but you'll only get it if you'll pay attention tonight. So I need everybody's attention, and if you'll give that to me for just a little while, I know it's been 99 degrees outside with a feel-like temperature of 106. It doesn't feel like that in here. Don't worry about it, all right? So thank God we got air conditioning and we're not out under a tent right now, amen? And we have a lot to be thankful for, but I need your attention tonight, please. In 40 years of preaching, I've learned a few things about life. One of the things I have learned is this. Mankind is seemingly on a constant search for some things. Mankind is constantly seeking for happiness. Mankind is constantly seeking for peace. Mankind is constantly seeking for love. Mankind is constantly seeking for certain things in life. And it's to the point where it's so bad that men and women don't even know what they are anymore. We don't even know how to identify ourselves. Well, just go to the farm. We can teach you. That's a bull. That's a cow. Real simple to figure out, all right? It doesn't take too long, but we've tried to search so much that people don't even know what they are anymore. Now, you say, why? Because they don't even know what makes them happy anymore. God gives us a powerful truth here in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 39. God tells us that if we search for happiness or search for life or fulfillment in life, we lose it. But when we quit searching for it, we find it. Look at verse 39 again. He that findeth his life shall lose it. Well, when you find something, it's because you've been looking for it, right? All right? And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. God says when we start searching for the things that we want, when we get them, we find out we didn't want them and we're not fulfilled anymore. You don't go searching for unhappiness and find it. You don't say, I woke up happy this morning, I shouldn't be happy, so I'm going to go look for something to make me unhappy. You say, preacher, that's ridiculous. You're right. You don't have to search for unhappiness, by the way. If that be the case, you don't search for happiness. Too many people are in search for happiness and they never find it because they're looking for it. Well, I woke up and I'm so full of love that I got to go find hate. And say, that's ridiculous. You don't search for hatred. Therefore, you don't search for love. When you quit looking for it and you find out what this truth is, it will revolutionize your life. Here's the truth. Since we don't go looking for unhappiness or hatred. We should not search for happiness or love. You see, the search for these things always ends up in unfulfillment. Now, let me use happiness. There are three ways people seek happiness. The first is this. They search for happiness in things of the world. I've got to go buy a new car. I've got to go buy a new truck. I've got to go buy a new tool. I've got to go buy a new toy. I've got to go buy a new computer. I've got to go buy a new iPhone. I've got to go buy new this. I've got to go find things. And if I get those things, I will be happy. Can I tell you something? The things of this world do not satisfy. Well, I'll go on this vacation and I'll find happiness. You can go on any vacation you want, and looking for happiness, you won't find it. I don't care how much money you spend or how little money you spend. It is not the vacation and the search for happiness. And by the way, I'm not against you going on vacation. Okay? That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is, I know people that will spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 on a vacation to find happiness, and they don't find it. Average vacation for a family is going to cost you $2,000 to $3,000 for a week. Guarantee it. Guarantee it. That's probably pretty conservative, too. You're going to spend a lot of money, and then you're going to come back and say, I wasn't as happy as I thought I was. Because you were looking for happiness in vacation. So the things of this world, by the way, you say, why? Because after you've had it, then you got to get the newer things. You got to go to a different place for a vacation. You got to do something bigger and better. And boy, I've got to hurry here. So things. Then here's the other thing. Well, I know that if I help somebody else, maybe in helping somebody else, I'll find my happiness. So I'll look for happiness in trying to help somebody else. I see Joe down here, and Joe needs something, and I'll say, I want to be happy. Joe needs something. I'll go help Joe, and maybe by me helping Joe, I'll be happy. Can I tell you something? That won't work. Because after you've helped Joe, maybe he didn't thank you the way you wanted to be thanked, and now you're all bummed out. Maybe you didn't get as much satisfaction out of it. And Ashley will slap him. Can you do that again? Maybe it just didn't fulfill you like you thought, and you did not receive the happiness you expected. Maybe it is. You don't get the praise that you wanted for it. Well, I'll work on the bus route. Maybe preacher will stand up and say something about me. That'll make me happy. No, it doesn't. Because if I say something, it's probably going to be snotty. amen, Mrs. Lopez. And God bless our bus workers stuck on that tin can in 99 degree weather. One of our young ladies worked on the bus for the first time today. Boy, did she get baptized by fire. That thing's a convection oven as you go down the road, you know. The air conditioner doesn't work, all right? There is none. And it gets hot. But maybe because you're looking for it in helping someone else, you're looking for happiness. Can I tell you something? You're not going to find it. Number three. Maybe you decide you'll become spiritual, and being spiritual will make you happy. Now, this is going to sound foreign to you, but listen to me carefully here. You read the Bible, but it doesn't always make you happy. Okay, don't raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have read your Bible and you got done and you say, what in the world did I do that for? Because I didn't get anything out of it. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Now, we've all been there. If you haven't, you haven't read the Bible very long. you pray, but prayer doesn't always make you happy. You go soul winning. Soul winning's not always pleasant. I don't know if you've knocked on doors. I've knocked on, but not every door is very pleasant. Especially if you're in Shepherdstown. I mean, in certain places. Oh, man, you can knock on doors and life can get real exciting. I've had guns pulled on me. I've had dogs sicked loose on me. I've had German Shepherds come through doors at me. I've had Great Danes stuck on me. I outran a German Shepherd one day, and I had nose marks on the back of my boots where it was wet from me kicking him as I was running and hurdled a 4-foot fence to get over so I didn't become lunch. All because somebody didn't want me going soul winning. I could tell you, come listen to the voicemails on the church phone after we've been out on Saturday soul winning. Some of them get, you know, I've been accused of killing people because we went out soul winning and people weren't wearing masks and people, I'm a man of the cloth, I should know better, and people are gonna, you're not social distancing and you're killing people by going door to door. You're actually leaving pieces of paper that might be contaminated. You're killing people. No, I'm trying to keep your stinking soul out of hell is what I'm trying to do. You might gonna die, but at least you'd know you're going to heaven rather than frying in hell. Yeah. So there's times going to church doesn't make you happy, especially when I preach certain sermons on your sin. Yeah. You know, sometimes going to church really doesn't make you happy. You search for it there, but it's not going to be found there. Here's the problem. The search for happiness is what brings you unhappiness. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. It is the search for happiness that brings unhappiness. Let me give you several thoughts here, and I promise this will help you. You can use this with happiness. I'm going to use happiness sometimes. I'll use love. I'll use friendship. I'll use many different things, but they're all interchangeable throughout this, all right? Number one, the search for what you want in itself is what causes you not to get what you want. The search for what you want is what causes you not to get what you want. This is true about love. Men, now look at me. You've seen Brother Don before, all right? I'm better looking than he is any day, all right? Now, when you start looking for something, the process of looking for those things is what brings unhappiness. Let's use love. We have people in our world searching for love today, and that's how we got the alphabet soup rainbow people. They are searching for love and never finding it. When they do find it, what they found isn't what they want, so they have to keep searching. That's what it is. They're very unhappy, unfulfilled people. Very violent and very mean and nasty too. My Bible says, he that seeketh his life shall lose it. When you find what you want by searching for it, when you get it, it won't be what you thought it was. There are people in this room, you thought searching for money would make you happy. And you're still in debt, making twice what you used to make, three times or four times what you used to make, as you were when you made $25,000 a year, and yet you make $90,000 or $100,000 a year. If you make more than $40,000 a year, $50,000 a year, you ought to be living pretty healthy with money put away. If not, you're searching for happiness and fulfillment in things. You can give me all the excuses you want in the world, but I've handled a lot more money than you've ever seen. I've helped a lot more people with finances than you know. Everybody doing okay? Hang on. This is true in friendship. When you start seeking for a friend, you will never find a friend that will fulfill you. There are people in this room, you are looking for a best friend, and you'll never find them. because you're looking for them. He that seeks it loses it. He that loses it finds it. Now watch this. It's true about leadership. Some of you are looking for the perfect leader. They don't exist outside of the Word of God. That's the only perfect leader. Well, if I had a better boss, maybe if he had better employees. This is true about any area of life. Searching for it means it's about you. That's the problem. See, if you don't get it, you're not happy. But here's the problem. Once you get it, you're not happy because it was about you. You see, love to be fulfilled has to be given. Happiness, in order to be fulfilled, has to be given. Friendship, in order to be fulfilled, has to be given. Finances, in order to be fulfilled, has to be done and given and managed rightly. Amen. Leadership, in order to be fulfilled, has to be given. Did you ever try to follow somebody that didn't lead? Everybody's had one of those kind of leaders in your life. You know, you can't follow something that's not moving. And if it's moving in a circle, it's even harder to follow sometimes. You know, most miserable thing in the world is following a leader that doesn't know what they're doing. You say, why? Because you're not going anywhere other than in a circle. The same vicious thing over and over and over and over again. Now, so the search for what you want in itself is what causes you not to get what you want. He that findeth his life shall lose it. When you are seeking for your own fulfillment, you will never be fulfilled because when you find it, you'll be unfulfilled. You can buy whatever you want, but the next thing that comes out, you got to go buy and you're going farther in debt, which means you got to work more hours, which starts this whole cycle all over again. So, number one, the search for what you want in itself is what causes you not to get what you want. Number two, unhappiness, hatred, the lack of friendship, whatever. Well, let me use happiness here. Unhappiness is the awareness of happiness. Unhappiness is the awareness of happiness. Maybe I should say it this way. When you begin to measure what you want, you lose it. Preacher, are you happy? I don't know. I don't try to measure it. I'm not sure if I'm happy or not, but I know one thing. I'm enjoying life. I don't enjoy every aspect of it. Every 7 days of my life or less, I get a phone call about somebody dying. Every week of my life. Do I enjoy those phone calls? No. Brother Joe, are you backing up? Oh. Okay. When you begin to be aware of whether you're happy or not, you are unhappy. And you will never find happiness. Because you're trying to barometer, you're trying to measure your happiness. You getting what you want by not thinking, you get what you want by not thinking about what you want, but by giving it to somebody else. Let me show you what I mean. I don't worry about being happy, but I'll make sure Brother Josh is happy. I'll make sure Mrs. Barnes is happy when we're here at work. I don't worry about whether I'm happy or not. I'll make sure my wife's happy, because if your wife ain't happy, nobody happy. Amen. Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. Mm-hmm. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that in making sure that he's happy and me not measuring whether I'm happy or not, I lose my want for happiness to make sure he gets happiness. In the process, I find happiness. But I'm not measuring my own happiness. If I want to be loved, I start measuring how much somebody loves me. That's where you start getting in trouble. So I don't worry about how much someone loves me. I'll just love them and give them the love they need. I don't worry about how close of a friendship I have with somebody. I just give friendship. Brother C preached here last Tuesday night for our tent revival. How many of you were here for that? Brother C did a phenomenal job. Let me shock you with something. You heard Brother C get up, and the first thing he said was this: if Brother Bush is your friend, you've got a friend. Remember him saying that? Do you know I've eaten one meal with him in my entire life? And that's when Brother Fugit came through the building here 2 years ago before it was done. And I wouldn't have taken him to lunch had he not been driving Brother Fugit, because I was talking to Brother Fugit. Not because I didn't like Brother C, but we just don't catch up with one another like that. And yet, what did he say? I've been to his church once to hear Brother Fugit. My dad and I went there. One time. And yet, Brother Fugit and I are friends. I don't spend any time with him. That could be why we're friends. No. But I've been very ethical with him. He's had some of his people during the COVID thing that have come to our church. We were at the tent, and I got up in front of everybody both nights and said, "Don't give your tithe to our church." He leaned over to me. He said, "Brother Bush, nobody does that anymore." I said, "I do." He said, "Man, I appreciate you." I said, "I didn't do it because you were here. Ask him. I did it last night." He said, "They told me." He said, "You don't know how much I appreciate your friendship that way." And by the way, he and I have worked through some sticky situations together. But because of my ethics, we were able to do it. Guess what? He and I are friends, not necessarily because he initiated it, but I don't worry about how much he's a friend back. I'll be a friend to him. I'm not measuring my friendship to Pastor C based on what he does. I'll measure it based on what I give him. I'm not worried about how much I get back. Here's the problem. You're unfulfilled because you want somebody to be a friend back to you. It's more important that you get what you want than they get what they want. Want me to help you in your marriage? Quit worrying about how much you get back from your spouse and start giving them what they want. Put your toys aside and give them what they want. Put your desires aside and give them what they want. Boy, that's good stuff right there. You get love by loving, not by searching for love. I love people that hate me. There are people in this world that hate my ever-loving insides. For you rednecks, my guts. But yet I love them. Some of them I love enough not to spend much time with them. Because it wouldn't be wise. Because we would then argue, and I'm not going to do it. I love them enough not to argue with them. A few years ago, I had a church contact me. Their pastor had resigned, and there was some turmoil in the church. And they had asked me to come down, and first of all, they called and asked my advice on a few things. And they had to do a little bit of rough work. Then they called and asked if I would come down and spend 3, 4, 5 days down there and help them fix the situation. Well, I knew the pastor that had stepped down. I knew the church well. And I said, that would not be a wise idea. I'll end up doing more harm than good by being there. I said, I love you, I love your church, and I love your former pastor enough not to cause problems. let me help you from a distance. That will be much better help for you. And I refused to go. By the way, they now have another pastor in there. The church is doing pretty good. They followed my advice. They didn't understand it, but they followed it. They didn't have a choice because they couldn't make me come. Now, wait a minute. I wasn't worried about what I got back out of it. I wanted to help them. I truly wanted to help them, but some of that help required me not to be there. It would not have been a good situation. You see, you get happiness by making others happy, not by seeing how happy you are. Quit measuring how happy you are. Quit measuring how much love you're getting back. Quit measure how much friendship you're getting back. Quit measure what you're getting. How about you quit worrying about it and just start giving those things? And in the giving of those things and not worrying about what you get back, you'll be surprised at how much comes back. You get friends by being a friend, not by searching for a friend. He that hath friends must show himself friendly. Ooh. It doesn't say he that hath friends must go look for one. It says he that hath friends must show himself friendly. I'll promise you, many of the close friends that I have in my life are because I initiated the friendship, not them. Guarantee it. I wasn't worried about getting them as a friend. I wanted to be their friend. I have friends I don't even see, but maybe once a year at best. I have some friends I don't see hardly ever. But we're friendly. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. No one ever finds these things by looking for them. You only find these things by giving it to others and not trying to measure how much you get back. In measuring how much you get back, you just lost what you were looking for. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life shall find it. Let me use this as an illustration. Brother Josh, come on up here. Brother Scott, can you run up here real quick? You don't have to run. I know your back's hurting. The floor can't take it. Brother Josh, you're going to be happiness. So come on over here. Brother Scott, it's a better representation than you being happiness. All right, now wait a minute. If I want Brother Scott to be happy, now watch this. I don't run up and say, "Hi, happiness, how are you doing? Boy, I wished I had you." Guess what happiness is going to do? It's going to turn and walk away. But even though I may want happiness, I go up and I say, "Happiness, I have somebody that needs you. Could I introduce you to Scott? Boy, I sure want him to have you." And I turn, guess what happiness will do? As I turn and walk away, it'll follow me. Say why? Because I wasn't looking for it for me. I was looking for it for him. I was going to say, this is love. This is friendship. But love, if I search for love and say, "Boy, am I glad to meet you," it's just going to turn around and walk away. But if I say, "I have somebody that needs you, could you help my friend? He needs love." Boy, does he. No. Remember, black belt. Black belt. I stopped you. I loved you enough to stop you. But if I search for you to help him, when I turn to go away, guess what follows me? Same thing is true with friendship. Thank you. You can have a seat. Some of you, you look for it, you introduce yourself to it, and it turns and leaves. And there you stand unfulfilled in life because you sought for it for yourself. But when you search for it truly for someone else and not worried about it for yourself, guess what follows you? He that findeth it loses it, but he that loses it shall find it. And I don't measure it. You see, when you introduce someone else to what you want and quit measuring and quit worrying what you get back out of it, eventually it'll follow you.
Sorry.
Number three, you cannot be happy buying all the things you want. You'll always want more. Remember when you got your first cell phone? Now, if you don't get the newest one as it comes out, you're upset. And that was 15 cell phones ago. Say, why? Because I got to have the newest one. The old one doesn't. Guess what? The old one still worked. Because a year ago, you were excited about it. Then it's going to cost you $1,000 or $1,500, and it's going to make your bill go up. So now you got to work more hours, and then you're complaining about having to work more hours and having bigger bills to pay. It really made you happy, didn't it? Well, I got to have this. Do you have to have it now? There is such a thing as called wait. There are some things in life you wait for. My wife and I still haven't taken our 25th anniversary trip. Say why? Because they got married on it. That was our trip. I'm not upset. One of these days we'll take one. Might be our 50th. But we'll get there. Now wait a minute. There are some things in life you just choose to wait for. I don't have to have the biggest, the baddest, the best, the newest, and the fastest, and the most expensive of everything that comes out. I just bought a new scope for my AR yesterday. I've had that thing for over 10 years. I've had an old hunting scope on that thing. It just doesn't work right. So I spent $55 on a scope yesterday. I've waited 10 years to buy that thing. Say why? Because I finally had it saved up to where I could and not hurt anything. It didn't hurt me to wait, but I made sure she had what she wanted. She's gotten her new house and new furniture, new washer and dryer, and the things that she needed and wanted in life. Things that she did without for so many decades. Literally. It's the first time in our entire marriage that we had new furniture. Ever. In 30 years. I felt like we had worked hard enough, she deserved it. That was more important to me than a scope on my gun. Everybody doing all right? Okay, hang on. See, new things come out, and you're going to have to buy the new thing because what was new is now old. So things don't satisfy. How about you help somebody else get what they want and happiness will sneak up on you? I've helped a lot of people get some things they want. There's times I've spent money that I set aside for something else to help somebody else get what they want and waited a while. I give myself $19.30 every week as spending money. That's my spending money out of my paycheck. I looked at my wallet about a week ago and said, I haven't spent any money in over a month. I was able to go golfing this last week. That didn't bring enjoyment. No, it didn't bring happiness. Believe me, there was some moments that were not happy. But I was also able to pay for somebody that went with me because I didn't spend all my money on other things. That in and of itself, I ended up being happy. More happy than I was with the round of golf that I had. You see, helping somebody else get what they want is far more important than you looking for happiness for yourself. Number four, and I'll finish. Aren't you glad? Let me review. Number one, The search for what you want in itself is what causes you not to get what you want. Unhappiness or hatred or whatever is the awareness of what you're seeking. Number three, you cannot be happy buying the things you want. Number four, lastly, you get hurt feelings by thinking about what you want to get. You get hurt feelings by thinking about what you want to get. Someone sick in the church, you take meals to them because you felt like that's what they needed. By the way, you found happiness by it. You get sick and somebody didn't bring you meals. Now you're upset because they didn't fulfill for you what you wanted. I feel like I'm on an island all by myself here. Quit measuring what you get. Give others what they want. If you're doing it to get it later, guess what? You'll never get it.
That's right.
And if you did, it won't fulfill you. Quit measuring how much others have compared to you. Find someone and give it to them. Oh, they don't need that. They have more than I have. Oh. But maybe they're not any more happy than you are. So maybe if you took them happiness and brought happiness to them, when you turn to leave, maybe it'll make them happy. How about you fuss and you feud and you fight when you think about yourself and what you want instead of giving somebody else what they want? I could solve most arguments between parents and children, children and parents, and husbands and wives. Quit thinking about what you want. Quit worrying about what you get back out of it. I watch parents of grown kids walk around able to vacuum the floor with their lower lip because they're not getting out of their kids what they thought they should get because they deserve it. If they're saved, they're not going to die and go to hell. That's about all you can get. You're depressed and stressed out because you're only thinking about yourself and what you get out of it. Can I sell something? Cancel your pity party and go do something for somebody else and quit worrying about what you get. Mm-hmm. How about while you're on vacation, go find somebody who's poor and help them? Find somebody who is hurting and help them. I realize my family is a little different. We didn't have a lot of money to take vacations. Usually a vacation was, I went and preached for a friend somewhere and spent a week there and preached three or four times while I was there. And they put us up in a place to stay and they didn't have to pay for all that kind of stuff. It was a cheap way for me to take my family somewhere. And I worked while we were on vacation by preaching and paid for it that way. Okay. But we traveled a little bit around the country and did some of those things. I was telling Brother Barnes, we went to Arkansas one time. Remember that trip to Arkansas? It was 100 degrees outside. We decided we were going to go down to the creek and go swimming. You remember when we jumped in that water? I don't think we got wet. It was so cold. 100 degrees outside and 50 degrees spring water. That is a shock to the system, let me tell you. My soul, it was so cold. I mean, and I jumped in, oh, wait a minute here. And I'm not even sure. I think Mindy may have been born, but if she was, we were still carrying her as a baby. I mean, this was a long time ago. And the boys went in and put their foot, oh, no, it's too cold. Say, what'd you do, Dad? Boom, boom. Threw them in. They didn't stay in. They didn't want to go swimming anymore. We went wading for a little while, amen? Oh, it was cold. We did all kinds of things. I'd go to New Jersey and preach for a friend of mine. They had a house there on the church property that they would put speakers up in. Man, this church had a boat, and we'd go out and go fishing out in the Perth Amboy Bay there. Boy, we'd go out and catch blues and stripers and have a fun time all night long. Come back, do other stuff, and I'd spend the week. I'd preach three, four times while I'm there. That was our vacations. Man, we had some fun times. didn't have the money to go to Disney World or Disneyland. We didn't take cruises. I'm not against those things if you have the wherewithal to do it. I didn't have it. I worked. We didn't make much money. It was okay, but we still did things. Boy, that's good stuff. How about you cancel your pity party and go find somebody? We would always go soul winning on vacation. We'd go find somebody and help them. So, listen to this and I'm done. You do not find what you want by looking for it. You give others what you want and don't measure what you get back. And just be happy giving it. You'll not find happiness on vacation or at play or at the golf course especially. Go to the poor and help someone while on vacation. Go to a nursing home and lift somebody else's heart. Go to someone else and quit looking for what you want yourself and give them what they want. Quit measuring what you get back. He that findeth his life shall lose it. But he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Quit measuring what you get back. Can I tell you the happiest day of your life will be when you're not worried about what you get? And you're just happy giving it. Say, preacher, do you have a lot of friends? I think. I know I'm a friend to a lot of people. I don't measure the friendship back. I really don't. I couldn't tell you how good or how bad of a friend somebody is because I don't measure it. I just know I'll be their friend. Do a lot of people love you, preacher? Oh, I'm sure they do, but I don't try to measure it. I just try to love everybody I can. There's a few I don't want to love, but some are a little harder to love than others. I don't measure the love back. I measure how much I can give out, not by what I get back. Do you have a lot of things, preacher? I don't know. I don't try to measure it. I got what I need and probably more. I don't worry about it. I don't want a lot of things. My wife and kids get mad at me. What do you want? Nothing. I'll get money for something and I'll spend it on them. That makes me happy. No, that was for you. No, make me happy, then let me spend it on you. Because that's what I enjoy doing in life. Folks, if you just got a hold of that, it'll change your life, I promise you. In every area of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. He that findeth his life loses it. But he that loses his life shall find it. What a powerful, important truth. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere inside that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand, oh my soul?